And all this week, we've been talking about science. Yesterday, we heard from the only physicist in Congress. Today, this question: how are we doing at educating young people in the sciences? And especially, how can we get more women and minorities into STEM fields? Shirley Malcolm is Director of Education and Human Resource Programs at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And Shirley Malcolm, how would you describe the state of STEM education in the country today?
I think that right now in the United States, we are in the middle. We're kind of middling. Our science is getting a little bit better, for example, for our middle school students. We're still probably not having it taught as much as we would like to for our elementary students. And our high school students leave high school really not that well prepared to go into a world that is so much grounded in science and technology.
At what age would be the ideal age to really start teaching kids science, if in a perfect world?
Pre-K.
Hmm.
Their minds are totally open. A lot of the things that they are engaged with, you can feed off of their own curiosity. And there are just lots of opportunities that are there to help them understand a lot about the way that the world works.
Another thing that we often hear about STEM education in this country is that girls and minorities are not interested in it, or not getting the education that they need to get them interested in it at the same rate as white males. Is that true? You're an African American female. You obviously got into this field and have risen very high in it. But what do you think?
The first part, girls and minorities are just as interested in science as white males. You look at all of the data that are coming out that look at high school students who might be going to college. They are as likely to be interested in those STEM fields as the white males. The question about whether or not they're getting what they need in order to be able to pursue them is a valid one. In the case of minority students, it relates to the fact that they aren't always in the best schools where the best classes are being offered that offer authentic science practices for them. In the case of girls, they may be in those schools, but they may not be receiving the kind of encouragement that is needed to really help you weather through and soldier on through the study of these fields.
Is that an institutional problem, or is that about individuals making poor decisions about whether to help young girls get into the field?
I think that it's a societal problem. If you still look around, you can see instances of where different groups are being discouraged to go into fields that are mathematically intensive or things like this. And so I do think that every individual has an opportunity when confronted with a student that may be a little bit different from the way that they think about a scientist as looking or an engineer as looking. Every individual has an opportunity to encourage, to support, to teach, to direct, to guide, but not everybody takes advantage of that.
What were the challenges that you faced, and how did you get past them to as a black woman born in Birmingham, Alabama, make it to get your PhD in ecology from Penn State and a bachelor's degree in zoology from the University of Washington and a master's at UCLA?
Well, that is a long story. I'm a post-Sputnik kid. I'm old enough that I remember very much how exercised the country was after Sputnik was launched, because that somehow meant in people's minds that we were behind. And so all of a sudden, science and mathematics got a lot of attention, whether that attention was in the classroom in terms of sending our faculty members off to professional development and courses, or whether that was on the television or on the radio or in the newspaper. And so I was caught up like everybody else, but we didn't have the same opportunities. We didn't have the same schools. We had segregated schools, and they were poorly resourced. After all, there wasn't an expectation that students who look like me would ever end up going into the sciences. And so I went off to go to college, and I met all of my deficiencies. And so, you know, I came very close to quitting the sciences in my freshman year in college after I confronted chemistry equipment I had never seen before. Hmm. And so I think that everybody has to kind of get through in those periods and get over those periods.
How did you get through that period?
In that case, I asked for help. I finally asked for help. I got a 9 out of 20 on my first, it was chemistry lab, on my chemistry lab quiz, and a 7 out of 20 on my second one. And I thought, this is not the right direction. So I went to see my TA, who happened to be the only African-American graduate student in the entire department in chemistry at the University of Washington. In that particular case, I asked for help. But I first really had to make the plea that I was not dumb, that I was underprepared. On my next quiz, I got an 18 out of 20, and he was happier than I was. And I think that there are a lot of students who are out there who are in the kind of same situation. They are confronted with things that they have not seen in their earlier educational experiences. And once I was successful, well, you feed off of your success. You say, okay, I can do this. And I think that that's the key to help get students to the point where they can say to themselves that they can do it, but also have the encouragement that shows how that can happen.
What about students who don't have the brain for science? That they may be very smart and they work very hard, but it just doesn't connect when it comes to physics or chemistry or things like that. That they're more into other studies. How do you get through to somebody like that the amount of science that they need to learn at a young age to succeed and be an educated person?
Well, I don't know that I believe that there is a brain for science, in the same way that I don't believe that there's a gene for math. Hmm. And I do think that it is a matter of how we are taught. It is true that people aren't necessarily going to all have the same interest, but in fact, they can have experiences that can get them to a point where they are at least literate and they can be savvy about science and really be able to look at claims that are being made and say whether or not these are reasonable. And that's really where we've got it, where we need to get everybody. And out of that group of everybody, we want to at least be able to pull some of the individuals into the study and practice of science.
How much science does somebody need to know if they go into a field that is like they're running a restaurant or they're doing something that doesn't deal with science on a daily basis? Why do they need to know and have that education?
Well, see, now that's where I would disagree with you. Someone who is running a restaurant, I really want them to know science. I want them to understand microbes a lot. Hmm. Because not understanding it can get us both into a lot of trouble, them with the health department and me with my sickness. And I think that we don't think about the amount of science and technology that are all around us and the extent to which they kind of penetrate all of our lives. I mean, you've seen this notion of not needing it because you're going to go in this direction. And I think that may not, in fact, be valid anymore.
So it sounds like then our biggest issue or one of our biggest issues is just getting the right teachers to teach science in an interesting way at a young age so that more people do learn as much as they possibly can in school.
I think that that's part of the answer, to get the right teachers to present things that are relevant and interesting to the students. But I think that we also need a larger society and community that is going to be supportive of those teachers and of those curricula and of those courses of study and those classes. We can sometimes have a little bit of a disconnect between what we think students need to know and communities who aren't really sure that they want students to know those things.
Shirley Malcolm, if there is somebody listening to this who is in their 30s or their 40s and doesn't feel that they got the kind of education that you're talking about that really got them interested and gave them the basic level of science knowledge that they need, what would you suggest that they do at that point?
Well, I think that it's never too late to start cultivating your interest and moving on those interests. there are opportunities for study in two-year institutions. Most places have community colleges that may be nearby. There are online opportunities for people to look at programming and what have you. There are all kinds of interesting things now on YouTube. Some of them better than others. There are things that are available that are on television. There are excellent science books that are available. We actually review a lot of the science books that are, you know, like for popular consumption, and say which ones are good and which ones are really worth reading. And I think that those kinds of things where you are able to kind of manage your own learning, to feed your interest, it's never too late for that.
That's Shirley Malcolm, the Director of Education and Human Resources Programs at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Shirley Malcolm, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.